in today's meeting, we'll do a survey and get your feedback, and we'll do some more. So you should expect to see that in your inboxes in the coming weeks. All right. Councillor Crisanti, welcome to the meeting today. Ingrid, if you can note Councillor Crisanti.
Hi, Laurie. Good to be here and good to see everybody.
Nice to see you too, sir.
I'm down here. Okay. All right. You can hear me?
Can hear you just fine. All right. Fares, over to you. So Fares Curry is coordinator with Toronto Pearson. We always send out an update to the committee in advance for review, but I'll just ask Fares if he can provide us with a few highlights in that document.
Thank you very much, Laurie. Welcome, everyone. So I hope some of you had the chance to read the consultative committee newsletter that went out on Friday. A couple of articles stood out for me, the first one being the one that talks about Toronto Pearson's recent participation in the Canadian Airports Association Lobby Day on Parliament Hill, where we met with elected officials from all three major political parties, as well as government officials. We highlighted some recommendations based on the Canadian Airports Association's Runway to Recovery report, which included data sharing amongst aviation partners to improve the passenger experience, enhance operational efficiency, and better future planning. Also, investing in technologies to improve processing, such as the Trusted Traveler programs and facial verification. And also reinvesting airport ground rent into strategic infrastructure. Another article that stood out for me was the one that mentions how Pearson was recognized for accessibility improvement. So on December 22nd, Toronto Pearson became the first airport in North America and second in the world to receive Airport Council International's, or ACI's, accessibility enhancement accreditation, which is a program designed to help airports measure, evaluate, and improve their accessibility management. So these are the articles that stand out for me, but I do encourage everyone to take a look at all the newsletter. Thank you so much for your time.
Great. Thanks, Perez. If anyone has any questions about any articles, we can either table them now or we can have a discussion during our roundtable. As has been our practice, we like to bring forward material that's important for sort of economic development, growth, recovery as we, you know, post-pandemic, but just information sharing for this group. So we have two presentations today. Really excited to introduce Victoria Clark. Victoria is the CEO of Mississauga Tourism, and I'm a very proud board member on the Mississauga Tourism Board, and I think what Victoria has been doing since her arrival has been nothing short of outstanding. She's a superior voice and champion for the city, and she's out there pounding her shoe on the table and her feet on the ground to try and grow and build tourism for Mississauga. So we've invited Victoria to come today to share some of the priorities that she's been working on. And so with that, Victoria, I will turn it over to you. And I don't know if you have a deck that we're going to be displaying at the same time. Okay.
Listen, thank you very much, Lori. And thank you for inviting me to your meeting this afternoon. And what I'll be doing is giving you a bit of an overview of what our DMO, our Destination Marketing Destination Management Organization, is. And so forgive me if this is something you already know, but it'll inform you in the rest of the presentation. But again, Lori, thanks for your time. And thanks to the GTAA for giving us your time, because it makes a huge difference in our strategy and in our performance. So I'm just going to share my screen, and forgive me, everyone, because what's going to happen is I'm going to share my screen, and I'm also going to be reading off of my phone, which will probably make me seem a little cross-eyed. I apologize. All right. Well, good afternoon, members of the GTAA, GTA City Council members, Destination Ontario citizens, and industry colleagues. I'm really excited to be here today to speak about Tourism Mississauga. Again, my name is Victoria Clark, and I'm privileged to hold the dual roles of Director of Tourism within the Community Services Department, reporting to Commissioner Robolos, and also as CEO of Tourism Mississauga, serving a 17-member board of directors chaired by Sam Coley. Tourism Mississauga is a municipal services corporation that has been formed to promote and grow tourism to the benefit of the city of Mississauga. The corporation is controlled 100% by the city and is funded 100% by the municipal accommodation tax, with the council, city council, acting as the sole voting member. And so my presentation this afternoon is going to serve as an introduction and an overview to our mandate and to our activities. So as a destination marketing organization, our mandate is to attract business to the city of Mississauga by promoting the city of Mississauga as a destination for visitors, festival attendees, meeting, conference, and sport delegates, as well as business travelers. We're also to develop a branding strategy and a marketing plan, conduct and share market research to identify tourism and business travel opportunities, to develop and execute marketing plans and sales strategies that address the city's strategic goals for robust tourism and business destination. And then we're also to facilitate high-level collaboration among the city's tourism industry, business organizations like our meeting here today. In short, it's our job to encourage the ringing of tills throughout the city, whether it be in hotels or restaurants, shops or attractions, and thus contribute to the financial health and, of course, also the vitality of our community. As many of you know, our industry employs about 1 in 10 employable citizens and also serves as the first job for so many. As mentioned, we're governed and guided by a board of directors that represent city council and key industry stakeholders. And I want to extend my thanks to returning council member Stephen Dasko. Welcome, Councillor Carolyn Parrish, and welcome back now as a city councillor, Brad Butt. And as you can see, our board includes representation from Oxford Properties, the GTAA, the GTHA, the Greater Toronto Hotel Association, the International Centre, key hotel and hospitality leadership, and the arts. And at our next board meeting, we will be filling the vacancy for the Mississauga Board of Trade to round out representation, and hi to Brett McDermott on that. Wanted to give you a little idea. We are currently a team of 10 at Tourism Mississauga. And as the sales market continues to bounce back, we will be growing our sales team, which is not indicated on this slide. But we are also fortunate to have the bench strength, as you can see in the upper right-hand side, the bench strength of city departments as well, including legal, finance, HR, and others. And so those are services that our organization pays for. But again, we have unlimited access to those other departments.
Victoria, I don't mean to interrupt you, but sure. I don't know if everyone else, but I am seeing slide 14 on my screen.
Oh, and I'm on slide 6. I wonder why.
Oh, yeah, I'm the same, Lori. That's all I was getting. I was trying to text you
other way around. Do you know what? I was on full screen. Do you know what, folks? Let's see.
There we go. Okay, I see it's moving now. Thanks, Victoria.
Okay, so do you see my first slide?
That's the first slide, yes.
Oh, apologies. Okay, so listen, you don't need to see this. So there's my board of directors. Are you able to see that? If you're giving me a thumbs up, I can't see it.
It's not moved for me.
Oh, my.
First page only.
Ingrid, are you able? I wonder why that
there
is.
There we go. That's the board.
I think it's just delayed. It's just moving.
It might be delayed. Okay. Okay.
It's Ingrid. Maybe if everybody takes their off camera, it's probably slowing the bandwidth. That may help.
And Ingrid, I'm also happy to have you share it if you think that would be better.
I'll have to find it first.
No, that's okay. Can people see the board of directors?
Yes, I can.
Yeah. Okay. And tell me when you can see the organizational structure. That was just what I was just speaking to.
Not yet.
Okay. Apologies. All right. Well, speaking to the organizational structure, we are going to be staffing up our sales team. We are seeing sales come back. I'll give you an idea of some of the performance of our sales organization over 2022 and what we're looking forward to in 2023. But as I said, we have 10 people on our team. We currently have the current CAO is our interim board treasurer, Sherry Litcherman, and also we get to benefit from city support services like finance and audit, communications, media, marketing, business planning, legal, IT and HR, and procurement. Whether or not you were able to see the next slide, I wanted to give everyone an idea of what our financial summary is from our past budget in 2022 and what we're looking forward to here in 2023. As I mentioned in an earlier slide, we are 100% funded by the municipal accommodation tax. That is for all overnight stays. There's a 4% levy charged to those rooms. That is both for hotels and for the sharing economy, Airbnb, VRBO, and others, on anything that is under a 30-day stay. And also, you are exempt if it's over a 30-day stay, and you are exempt if it's a compassionate stay, like if there's a Delta hotel that has a compassionate care. We're not charging the Red Cross or anything like that. So as we're seeing seeing that we're back on pace, so for 2023, again, we are hoping to see that we are going to return to a strong return to the market, and we're anticipating future growth of the municipal accommodation tax. And so for 2023, we've increased our budget by about 30% to just short of $6 million over 2022 in order to make sure that we are ready to meet opportunities as our markets continue to grow. In order to position Mississauga as a business, sport, and leisure destination through incentive programs, our sales team attended over 15 sales events across the country in 2022, raising awareness of Mississauga as a business event destination. And if you're not in this industry, I'll let you know that our business event attendees are some of our highest value visitors. We connected with thousands of meeting and event planners from across the country, resulting in approximately 3,000 touch points across all sales events, with dynamic and memorable activations. And to some great success in 2023, we're looking forward to what this work has resulted in. We've won some major industry business events, both the CSAE, which is the Canadian Society of Association Executives for 2023, their summer summit, and the Tourism Industry Association of Ontario annual conference that will be happening this fall. And then the recently held CANSPEP, Canadian Society of Professional Event Planners 2023 Planners Day here in Mississauga at the Sheridan Gateway. We will now in 2023 be attending about 20 business event attraction sales activations across the country, including one that is new for this year, which is International Conference Associates. And it'll be our first international event attraction event. It's going to be held in Ottawa, so it saves us from going to Bogota, Colombia, which is where it was held in previous years. To give you an idea of sport.
Sorry, Victoria, we're still stuck on your board of directors slide. So I've got the presentation up. So
okay, I'm on slide 9.
Yeah, your slide 9.
Yeah.
Let me see.
Sorry, folks.
That's okay.
Listen, do you know what? It's just pretty pictures. Like I can speak to them. And again, if people can, and do you know what? I made some updates. Do you know what? I actually made some updates to my presentation because I was going to be sharing it myself.
Oh, okay. Yeah, what? I don't have your updated one.
That's okay.
So
that's okay.
Tell me this one.
Nope. Yeah, that's fine.
Okay, so just tell me when to advance the slides, that's all.
I will, but I move the slides around, but don't, again, it's words and not the images, so don't worry. The right. City hosted approximately 17 major sporting events in 2022, resulting in $22.5 million in estimated economic impact. And bravo to the incredible team at the city and volunteers that hosted the 2022 Ontario Para Games and Ontario Summer Games to great success. Not only were the games excellent, they served to drive and support the value of visitation in our community. And we started 2023 off with an incredible bang by hosting the World Indoor Rowing Championships, which is the first time it's been held in Canada. And also last week saw over 2,400 athletes and their families from all points north attending the 49th annual Little Native Hockey League hockey tournament throughout the city. I'm going to get you to advance the slide, but it may not be the correct slide, but that doesn't matter. You go ahead. To give you some, you can keep going. We'll just stay on this. To give you an idea of some of the marketing wins, Tourism Mississauga formed the first DMO, and remember our organization is a destination marketing organization, the first DMO and Uber Eats partnership in Uber's history with our Taste the World incentive campaign. Uber Eats absorbed all the administrative and creative costs, and 100% of our investment was to support restaurants. We also formed the first hopper partnership between a DMO and an airline with Canadian Jetlines, and hosted incentives that not only drew airline bookings with Canada Jetlines, it also had an incentive for hotel night stays. We had our first summer campaign of My Saga Summer with a self-guided gamified tour using the Bandwango Pass app. Also, we had a continuation of our $100 It Pays to Stay campaign, which incentivized overnight stays in Mississauga with a $100 prepaid Visa gift card. And also with our friends from Oxford Properties, a further incentive of a $20 Square One gift card, and saw over 1,100 reservations being made in Q4 of 2022. Do you know what? I don't know if you can, Pat. I had a couple of slides that just had some images of the Bandwango Pass creative. Yeah, here we go. There, it can go there. You can go back to the one you were just on. Thank you. Just to give you an idea, this slide gives you an idea of our website and Bandwango Pass creative. We also served on our mandate to position Mississauga as a business, sport, and leisure destination through market research and marketing campaigns. We employed Destination Next to do an assessment, Destination Think to do some community engagement, and Place DNA research and brand development and strategy development as we build our brand voice. If you want to go to the next one, we also invested with our RTO5 partners in welcome installations for the GTAA. We hosted over 12 social media influencers to build our profile, and you can see some creative there at the bottom right-hand side of Angelina Brolin, also known as Bacon is Magic, as she was talking about the diverse and authentic foods from around the world that you're able to prep your next trip to South America. Her most recent trip was prepping herself for a trip to Asia, to South Asia, and having as close to those countries' foods as she possibly could in Mississauga. Also, we leveraged our marketing dollars and entered into partnerships with Destination Ontario, and some of the creative also there on the the full left-hand side of our partnership with Hopper during their stellar Travel Tuesday promotion. If you wouldn't mind going to the next slide. And then some of the highlights from our social channels in 2022 were that we saw our total audience increase over 89%. We saw 25 million impressions despite posting fewer times, which was a 3.6% increase over last year, 500,000 engagements, which was a 226% increase over last year, and 200,000 link clicks and 2% engagement rate, which again is 215% increase over last year. And as I mentioned, our corporation is 100% funded by the 4% municipal accommodation tax that's levied on short-term stays of 30 days or less. And these funds were severely negatively impacted by the COVID-19 pandemic. Businesses in our industry were the first and hardest hit and will be the last to recover, as you well know, at the airport, that we will be the last to recover. And our organization adjusted our marketing and sales goals accordingly for 2021 and 2022 through the pandemic in support of the industry's recovery. And in 2022, we saw the return of overnight stays, and we did end 2022 at a 70.5% hotel occupancy, which was 50% above 2021, but still 7% below 2019. But I am happy to report that the estimated collection for 2022 was over $11.1 million, of which 50% is directed to our organization. I'm going to get you to advance a few slides there, Ingrid, if you don't mind. There you go. So you can go back one there. Thank you. The momentum of our destination is building. I'm almost done, folks. The momentum of our destination is building. And through the strategic investments made by our marketing team in digital advertising and social contesting, our presence online has had a meteoric rise. And the relationship and sales builders that make our business and sport attraction teams have started to grow a buzz that has attracted interest from provincial, national, and international sport and business associations and corporations. I'll remind you that this time last year, our province was just beginning to roll back heavy restrictions that limited our markets for promotion and sales. And over the course of the year, we saw visitation return and we saw the recovery begin. We know that open is not recovered, and we're a young organization that's still building its voice and identifying its markets of highest affinity. And we're still educating ourselves and our clients and our city colleagues on best practices with so many new processes and players in the industry. And just if you want to go to my last slide, as we continue to grow and respond to the recovery of our industry, we're looking to grow our sales team and to better serve our markets. And we look to grow our marketing and sales program spends in order to build our digital presence online and grow our in-person reach in the market. But I will say on behalf, you can go to the last slide, on behalf of my incredible and resilient team and board, I want to thank you very much for your attention. And I certainly would welcome any questions that you have on our program or on our investments.
Thanks very much, Victoria. And sorry about the technical glitches with your slides. We'll make sure that the slides that you wanted to share get circulated for everybody. I think the key message you're delivering is like open but not recovered. And I think that's something that many members of this committee in the travel and tourism sector would agree with. But also it's just so amazing to see the amount that's been done. As you think back only 12 months ago, we were still pretty shut down. And so there is a pent up demand to travel, and you're out there, you know, making sure people know that Mississauga is a place where they can come and spend their tourism dollars. So I'm just going to look and see if anyone has any questions. I wanted to just, Ingrid, make sure you made a note. A couple of folks have joined since we did the roll call. So Councillor Chris Fonseca from the City of Mississauga. Councillor, good to see you. Stephen Tufts has also joined since we did a roll call. Hello, Stephen. And I don't know if you made a note that Councillor Vincent Crisanti is also here. And I'm sorry if I've missed anyone that joined since roll call. Those are just the ones that I've noticed.
Yeah, and John Davidson is here as well.
Oh, hello, John. And did you already have Savick as well?
Yes.
Okay, perfect.
Yep, got them all.
Great, thank you. Any questions for Victoria from anyone on the committee? Stephen.
Hi, very much. Thank you, Victoria. That was very useful. I'm just in Canada, the promotion of tourism is multi-jurisdictional with all levels of government having their own thing going on. And I'm just wondering what the relationship is with Mississauga and how closely you work with the Ontario government, Tourism Toronto and the greater GTA, and of course, the federal government as well. I'm just wondering what those relationships look like when it comes to forming strategy. Thanks.
Listen, thanks for that question. And again, thank you everyone for your attention and for our technical issues there. I will tell you that I'll send my slide deck, but also send my speaking notes because those slides don't necessarily stand alone. But to answer your question, Stephen, one of the things I mentioned in my report was that we participate in marketing activations with Destination Ontario, which gives us 50 cent dollars into markets of highest affinity of Destination Ontario, which is going into the northern U.S. You know, for us, the way that we capitalize, you know, Mississauga standing on its own doesn't make sense. We get to capitalize on compression that's happening in Toronto. We are naturally, even if the RTOs have been disbanded, we are still kind of part of, in philosophy, RTO 5. When Toronto wins, Mississauga wins. We are looking to fill the vacancy of they are moving away from regional and provincial meetings and regional and provincial sporting events. And so there's an opportunity there for Mississauga. And then to let you know that I sit on the executive of what had formerly been called DMAC. I'm the past chair of DMAC, Destination Marketing Association of Canada, which is now CDLC, the Canadian Destination Leadership Council, which is now part of Destinations International. So working with my CEO colleagues from across the country. And again, holding it's an advocacy group to make sure that investments are being strategically made on all of our behalfs into international markets by the federal government. We've also had the pleasure of working with our RTO partners and absolutely in with Destination Toronto in the lead, absolutely unarguably in the lead to make investments that were the Tourism Relief Fund projects, including the one that was the Welcome Project at Pearson. So we play nice in the schoolyard, but again, we are establishing that Mississauga is a standalone destination, and we have the benefit of being connected to Pearson Airport all the way down to Lake Ontario, but never forgetting that we benefit from, like I said, compression and the success of Toronto.
Thanks, Victoria. Any other questions for Victoria? I thought I heard somebody. I don't see any hands up. All right. Well, thanks very much, Victoria. Appreciate your time this afternoon.
Listen, my pleasure. Thanks for the invite.
You are welcome to stay, but I know you're a busy person, so feel free to drop off if you need to.
Thank you.
Oops, I put myself on mute. The second presentation is two of my colleagues from the GTAA. So Karush Manosher, who is the Director of Revenue Diversification and New Business Development. Sorry, Karush, I have to read your title because it's new and it's long. And Tammy Smith, who is Associate Director of Terminal Operations. So we've asked Karush and Tammy to come forward and share with us all where they're working in terms of prioritizing some digitization projects. As we've talked about before at this committee, while we're looking to respond to the growth and the pent-up demand for travel, and that may require investments in bricks and mortar, we also need to think about how we smartly invest in technology to help to move passengers and people and goods through the buildings and terminals and facilities. So, Karush, are you going to kick things off?
I will, yeah. And can you see my screen by chance?
I can see your screen.
Okay, awesome. So just a little bit of background about the digitalization program. While it started well prior to the pandemic, there was definitely a catalyst over the course of the last few years, not only seeing us move from more traditional or physical touch points to touchless, but even how some of our thinking and collaboration has been shaped over the course of the last little bit. And where it really came to a bit of a hold was last summer, as you know, we saw about 300% growth over the course of 10 months. We saw in the quietest days about 4,000 passengers walking through our buildings, to last summer upwards of 110,000 passengers a day going through the buildings. And so it left a number of organizations scrambling in different ways. And what made it more challenging was the number of false starts the industry saw over the course of the pandemic, where we started to see general improvements and very quickly either had a different wave or different implications or regulations put in place around testing regimes that saw traffic increase and decrease in fits and spurts. And when we finally got to a point where the borders were open and travelers were coming through in a more regular regime, we were left in a place where we were reacting, and organizations across the airport were a little bit behind the eight ball in staffing up. And one of the challenges that we found was the news media and social media really took hold, and we found ourselves in a challenge where we were trying to separate fact from fiction. We had headlines around Pearson's on-time performance, some of them noting that we were the worst in the world for delays. Yet if you showed up during non-peak periods, you could really run through the terminal in about 15 minutes or less, and you wouldn't have a single challenge amongst your journey. And so it led to this mismanaged traveler experience that we were trying to get a hold of and really tell our story in terms of what was truly happening at the airport versus what you may have heard from either media or social media. And so we took a bit of a step back to identify the various problem statements that we had and try and sort through some opportunities. We were dominating headlines for the wrong reason. Operations were painted with this broad brush that, you know, we felt it was plague throughout the day, all day, every day. And that led to this mismatch in what a traveler would expect versus what they actually experienced throughout the day. And even as we improved month by month, you started to see that the challenges we had in April were very different from May or that of June and July. And so we were joining this list of global airports, but not for a great reason. We all had our own operational issues that we were dealing dealing with. And one of the biggest challenges behind it was the data and the KPIs that we were focused on really looked at our own operation and not holistically from the passenger for the customer's perspective. So that's where we saw our opportunity to play a bit more of a leadership role and really become that single source of truth for operational processes, helping to provide not only travelers, but the general public, media, as well as employees with a level of transparency that paints an accurate reflection of reality and a lot different from what we've had in the past. So we've developed a suite of tools that that we'll talk about today that we made publicly available. And our goal at the time was really around progress over perfection. So finding utilities that were already in place that we could communicate out to the broader population and continue to refine these over time. And so we took a bit of a multi-pronged approach that really helped to remove the guessing from the traveler experience. Our first step was really take a look at some of the historical data that we have and paint a bit of a reflection of what the peak times are at the airport. So everybody knows you show up at dinner time at a restaurant and you can expect to wait. But if you show up a little bit earlier, you can beat that curve and get a nice table. But at the airport, it's not as simple as showing up in the early in the morning when we wake up. We have 6 to 7 peaks throughout the day that really throw off what travelers were expecting versus what they would experience at the airport. So we started with this dashboard that's very similar to what Google produces in terms of how busy your experience might be at a mall or at a restaurant or anywhere else. And we added in some photos that really helped to contextualize what a slow, busy, or very busy time of the day would be. And from there, we continue to iterate. So we work with CATSA to produce security wait times and publish them on our website, making sure that we're communicating it out for others to see. We worked with our carriers to start measuring check-in wait times, not only for the Canadian carriers, but international ones as well, and publishing it on our website so that you could have a good end-to-end view of what's transpiring at the airport. And then, of course, on the inbound side as well, making sure that where there were challenges or delays with baggage, it was something that was communicated out in advance and tried to manage the experience from that perspective. And as we worked through this was really done in the course of about 6 weeks. It led us to some broader thinking around digitalization and how we wanted to shape the year to come. And so we started looking at digitalization really from a two-stream approach. One is around the passenger and how we can reimagine an experience and a digital engagement with the passenger. And the second is around the operator or our employees. So how we can really use data and technology to transform that employee experience, providing new insights to operate more efficiently. And then, of course, all of this is underpinned by a massive IT and data uplift, not only bringing in the latest capabilities and technologies that we need, but really closing the gap on a lot of data challenges or data gaps that we see today. So moving into what digitalization could be broadly, we really broke it down into three streams. And the first is around really filling those potholes. So that's the optimization stream and identifying and solving for a lot of data gaps. After that, you can lay your fresh coat of asphalt, and that's the differentiation and how we can create more of an improved experience for travelers and create an advantage in our industry and eventually move to the point where it is truly transformational. But our goal right now and what we're going to chat about over the next 15 minutes or so is really that optimization tranche and trying to close some of the data gaps that we have in play. So some of the key technologies and outcomes that we're trying to realize this summer, and I won't clear the slide as Tammy's going to go in depth, is really identifying three key solutions for the traveler. So enhancing on that source of truth program that we instituted last year, filling in a couple more of those gaps that we have in increasing the fidelity of data, but also expanding how we offer our services around a confident travel experience and informed travel experience, making sure that passengers know how they can get from one end of the airport to the other. The second is around some employee capabilities, which is really grounded in knowledge sharing and collaboration. And then the third, as I mentioned, is around some of those data practices that we have. So I'll turn it over to Tammy to walk through some of the streams of technology.
Good afternoon, everybody. So starting with the source of truth that Krush was just referring to, we have some technology in place already that gives us, like he was saying, wait times to be issued on our website or to be displayed on our website. That gives us about a 70% accuracy level based on some Wi-Fi data that we're currently using. Just to give that information to the passengers so they can make better decisions on when to show up at the airport or if they should get a coffee before going through security or maybe even do that afterwards. We're moving into a little more of a more accurate technology based off of camera technology, CCTV, which obviously we have in the airport currently with our security systems, with an AI layer on the camera technology to help us understand the passenger flow, how long it's taking them to go through a process, whether it's security or maybe even U.S. Customs or Canadian Customs. And it allows us a more enhanced analytics and data segmentation for those processes so that we can make changes as an airport to make a better process for the passenger. The second component that Krush had touched on was about our digital mapping. We currently have in place a very basic digital mapping. It will get you from point A to point B, but we want to enhance that passenger experience. We want to add in that layer of wait time, that accuracy level and current wait times versus a static wait time, which is what we're showing right at the moment. We want to give a more enhanced journey for the passenger and maybe offer up marketing and communications to the passenger based off what they would like to see, what flight they're going on and what's around them as far as food and beverage or retail opportunities. And again, our current digital mapping doesn't give us as much analytics and data support that we'd like to have to make that journey a little bit better. Moving into a more feature-based digital map, it gives us line of sight, or gives the passenger line of sight, I should say, as to navigating the airport all the way from our parking garage to the gate, tells them what kind of wait times they'd be expecting, again, at security or whatever process they're going through, maybe check-in, gives us some blue dot technology where the passenger doesn't need to navigate based off of just a map in front of them. It will follow them through that process like it does for Google Maps. And eventually giving them a predictive journey so that maybe coming from home all the way to the gate, it can tell them how long it would take them even through traffic to get to that point. Lastly, for the customer experience piece or passenger facing, we've already launched, you may have heard about this in media, we've already launched a virtual queuing initiative called YYZ Express, and that's been launched through some of the larger airports across Canada and also in some of the airports in the US. We've seen a huge uplift of it. We're currently working through the expansion of that. It's not currently offered at all of our security checkpoints, but one in each terminal. As an example, for March break, we saw 100% reservation for the slots offered and about 73,000 bookings since it was launched in October of 2022. It's a great experience for a passenger who is reserved and has a front of line experience. We've had great feedback with it, people saying that they've come through with small children. That's really helped them get through without that anxiety. People who are connecting onward and need to go through security and have that confidence level that they need, that they're going to be ensured a space to get through security without waiting. Moving into the operator portion, again, like Krush was mentioning, shared data amongst the community within the airport and amongst our employees. It's really focused on that data being delivered properly to the right people at the right time so that they can execute confidently and have the make the right decision at the right time. So putting that data in front of them, not only for our own GTA employees, but also our partners and stakeholders within the airport. There will be different aspects that they can look at a dashboard and we'll all be running the operation off the same information. So the first technology for that is called Better Airport. It's a platform that we're bringing in that will take all of the information or all the data that we currently have, whether it's predictive or real time, and put it into a dashboard that's easy to read. And again, decisions can be made off of that efficiently in a timely manner, and we're running off all of the same information. It's a collaborative tool, like I said, that will be used with our partners, whether it's U.S. Customs, Canadian Customs, or CATSA. It's a platform for communication so that we're all running off the same information and making the same decisions at the same time. And it tells us where we stand with Again, passenger wait times, how long processing is going to be, detailed information about a flight so we can make better decisions. This is just a slide showing you what the dashboard will look like in more detail. This is what was presented on the previous slide on the right-hand side. We have a lot of data that we currently collect and issue out to different departments right now in the airport. But again, this is going to bring it all together so that we're running off the same information. The last tool that we're looking at implementing or are implementing for the summer is called ASAIA. ASAIA is a tool that gives us line of sight to the turnaround time for an aircraft. So currently, not only for the GTAA, the airport, but also for our airline partners, a lot of people don't have line of sight to how the performance is going for the specific aircraft, whether the baggage has been taken on or put off, whether catering truck is finished, whether the fueling truck is finished, whether the bridge has gone on or off that aircraft. And so this is going to give us better predictability when we have challenges with aircraft leaving the gate on time. And if there's another aircraft coming onto that gate, they won't be waiting on the apron. We'll make arrangements in advance for that aircraft to potentially go to a different gate instead of waiting for, you know, 30 minutes to 45 minutes to find a new gate for this aircraft. We would be working on that well in advance so that we can help mitigate those challenges that we see. And so this, again, is based off our current infrastructure, camera systems that we already have in place, an AI system that will help us navigate some of these challenges that I just mentioned. And I'm just going to pass it over to Karush again.
Sure, thanks. So in terms of where we go next, I mean, the team right now is acutely focused on delivering for the summer. So as we move past that, we've been focusing on real-time data models to showcase exactly what's happening in the moment. But we brought on board a team of data scientists and engineers that really help us become a little bit more forward-looking and develop predictive models that can not only tell the passenger what's going to happen next week or what time they should leave for the airport based on road traffic profiles, but do the same for airport employees. So, you know, take a subset of contributing factors and trend that out to be able to tell us when we can expect to experience certain challenges at the airport and communicate that out to a broader group. So it's not only something that's shared with the GTAA. The idea here is to really share that information with the broader airport ecosystem and become a more integrated airport in totality. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Karush. Tammy, lots of information there. So the deck can come down, it helps me see people if there's hands up. So any questions for Karush or Tammy? Councillor Fonseca.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Lori. Thank you for the presentation. That was wonderful. One just feedback. I actually was going to ask about the amount of time passengers can be sitting on the apron when a flight lands. So, but you explained that. I think that's pretty amazing technology. So just wanted to, you answered that question that I had for you. But the other one is, when will this be made available? The presentation, sorry. Can you make the presentation available?
Yeah, we typically send out the decks with the minutes from the meeting. So we will do that.
Okay. And the one final thing, the application with regards to the making it easier for passengers or for those that are going to be flying to understand in terms of the wait times. I had a question. I think it was answered in the presentation, but I had a question sent through to my office with regards to the compatibility of different phones. So whether you have an Android or whether you have an iPhone or whether you has there been any issues or feedback with regards to that?
So we're actually hosting this on our website, so we're not developing a unique airport app that you'd need to download. Okay. And our website is accessible from any mobile platform.
Okay. Great. Well, thank you very much.
Thanks, Councillor. Jeff Morrison from the National Airline Council of Canada. Hi, Jeff.
Hi, and thanks for inviting me. This is my first meeting, so I really appreciated the presentation, and in part because at NAC, we've been very heavily engaged with our federal officials, Transport Canada, with the minister, et cetera, in promoting the concept of shared accountability as a companion piece to what we imagine to be upcoming changes to passenger rights regulations. So the system that you just described is I think very much in line with the type of model that we've been promoting at the federal level. So if you bear with me, I had three quick questions, but I promise they'll be very short and succinct. The first question, it was mentioned that you're dealing with other entities at Pearson. I believe CATSA and CBSA were named as examples. First question is, are you getting positive buy-in from those other external, if you will, entities in terms of providing you with that data? And that would include groups that weren't mentioned, for example, NAVCAN. I think CBP was mentioned, but so are they buying in and providing that data? The second question is, will the data be also tied to service standards so that, you know, you have the data, but will there actually be service standards attached to that data so that improvement points can be made? And then my third question is, given the work and the effort that you've put into that infrastructure and setting the system up, could you foresee a point down the road where that infrastructure could potentially be shared with other airports in Ontario or across Canada so that we're not having to, not every airport's not essentially having to reinvent wheels, but rather could kind of use the system that you've already created. So thank you for that.
Yeah. Okay. So I'll try and tackle all three and then you can remind me if I missed one. So the first one in terms of buy-in, yes, there's a good amount of support for what we're trying to accomplish here. And the systems that we walked you through today, particularly that Better Airport Suite, focuses more on in-terminal services. So it's the three key government agencies, CATSA, CBSA, CBP, as well as the airlines in the check-in environment. So NAVCAN's not necessarily taken into consideration for this one, as it's more about passenger flows, but they're certainly excited with the level of detail that they see. Second question? Well, sorry, Jeff, what was the second question?
Sorry, second question was whether service standards would be tied or whether it's just essentially data.
Right. So this is a bit of a crawl, walk, run piece. So our first goal is to really help create the platform that shares a lot of this information. There are other groups within the GTA that are looking at things like service standards. But of course, when it comes to government agencies, that's a different discussion in its entirety. And then the third question around whether we're going to share some of this with other airports in Canada or in Ontario, it's one of the key elements we're looking at. So not everything that we're doing is scalable from a technology perspective, but where we have technologies that have the capabilities of do so, we're certainly exploring what that could look like. I think a good part of us, a good part of this for us right now is proof of concepts and trialing this out to make sure that, we can yield some of the gains and benefits that we're looking for before bringing everybody else into it.
Thank you.
Taryn, I saw you put your hand up, but I don't see it up anymore. So I just want to make sure if you have a question, you can raise it now from the region of Durham. Maybe not. Okay. Any other questions for Karush or Tammy? Awesome. Thanks so much. There was a lot there, so we'll make sure that the deck is circulated and you can see, the more information we can share with passengers, and the more transparent we can be and more predictive we can be about what to expect when they come for their flight or even before they come to the airport for their flight, the easier it is for everyone and the more that we can have data sharing amongst all partners in the ecosystem. It's a pretty complicated place. The better the operations can be for that passenger. And I think that's the heart of everything that we're working towards is a better passenger experience and improved services for our passengers as they come back to travel again. So thanks very much, Tammy and Karush. We will move on to the next item in our agenda. And as I said to Victoria, you're welcome to stay, but also understand if you need to drop off. So that does move us to our member update. Ingrid, maybe what we can do is go around and do a quick member update. Honestly, folks, we have a really big crew today. So if I could ask if you could sort of keep your member update to the top two or three things that are your priorities that you think are important to share, because otherwise I fear we might be here till 6 o'clock.
Lori, if I could interject for a moment, it's Vince Crisanti here.
Yes.
I need to jump off in a couple of minutes.
So oh, absolutely.
If it's okay with everyone, I just very briefly, just a couple of words.
Absolutely. I'll make that executive decision. Please go ahead, Councillor. The floor is yours.
Oh, that's great. And later on, I think I'd like to connect with you too, but we'll set up a meeting for later. But so last time I noted in the minutes here that I brought you up to speed on what's happening with Woodbine Entertainment, 750 acres and so on, that development is progressing really, really well. Really proud of what's going on there. Just got some information recently that June the 1st will be the official opening. I'm not sure if they'll do an official event around it just yet. The opening of the new casino part of the one of the two five-star hotels. The entertainment venue will likely be a couple of months later after that, likely in the early fall. Initiative to extend the LRT, which is something I'm really eager to have going. And as you know, we're working very diligently and making that happen from where it currently terminates at Humber College down to the new GO station that hopefully will be shoveling the ground sooner than later. But we want to get that LRT extended to that new GO station, which will connect Etobicoke North to the airport, to downtown Union Station, and everywhere across the GTA and other municipalities nearby. So that's all going really well, and I just wanted to share that with everyone. And of course, as everybody knows, we have undergoing one of the largest by-elections in history. We're looking for a new mayor. If there are any takers out there, just putting it out there. You still have time. April 3rd is registration date. So I'll leave it up to everyone. And looking forward to having a good election on June the 26th and having the right person representing us here in Toronto. I'm sure it's going to go well. But, of course, I think you all know that, and I just wanted to share that with you as well. That's it for now, because I'm going to jump off. I've got a community meeting starting in about 60 seconds. So,
all right. Thank you, Councillor. We appreciate you joining today.
Thank you, Lori. Take care. All the best.
Take care.
Lori, it's Ingrid Savick also has to leave at 5 o'clock. So if he wants to jump in now, I see he's still here.
Do you have any updates for the group? How's school going? I know he had trouble speaking at the last meeting.
Yeah, he did send me some notes. Just a small, students are graduating and most are getting jobs. All good heading into the summer.
Good to hear students are getting jobs. That's great.
Yes.
All right. Thanks, Savick.
Did you want me to go down the list, Lori?
Yeah, that's probably helpful. Thanks.
Okay. So Sabrina Kahn from the Peel region, it looks like she has left. So the next on the list is Badar. From the Brampton Board of Trade.
Okay, if we can just do voting members first. Yes. I know Badar is, so that'd be great. Thanks.
Yeah.
Hi, everybody. I will keep this brief. The most important piece that actually has come out of City Hall from a Brampton Board of Trade perspective and GTA perspective was the updated study of HLRT extension options into Brampton. So we have long advocated for Pearson to be a broader transit hub, and this extension will play a very important role down the road in that process. Originally, when this extension was proposed for Hamilton, for Brampton, the total cost was approximately $400 million for the surface option. That cost has now gone up to approximately $900 million. The tunnel option, which was very vigorously debated for by the opposing camp of the service option. The cost for that underground option is now up to $2.9 billion. So stakeholders in Brampton have to do some figuring out in terms of how best to bring the different levels of the government together, in addition to the public in Brampton, to get one of those options going. And obviously, Brampton Board of Trade is in the favor of the service option because we certainly have other needs in the city of Brampton that we can use some government funding for. That's about it.
Okay, thank you, Padar. The next is Councillor Power.
Hi, good afternoon. I don't know, there's a lot to take in. There were great presentations. As someone who used to frequently fly, it's great to see that we're moving ahead with a lot of this stuff. I don't have really anything to add, and I'm looking forward to digesting this this information a lot more.
Great. Thanks, Councillor. And we're glad to have you on the committee and welcome to your first meeting. So,
okay, the next is John Davidson.
Hi, all. Good to see you again. So from a Halton Region perspective, I'll keep it short too. Our council is just working through its strategic business plan, which is going out for consultation to the public very shortly. So it's just going to council tomorrow for just to check in on our draft priorities. There certainly is a lot more interest in our transportation infrastructure that will also, I guess, cover off goods movement as well. So that's certainly something we've heard about, and safe movement of people, pedestrians, active transportation as well. The other thing I think I would highlight is the fact that with Bill 23 having gone through as a municipality, We're certainly dedicated to trying to augment our housing supply, and we've been working closely with our local municipalities in that sort of post-Bill 23 context to ensure that planning responsibilities have devolved properly. And we're also looking as well towards and working with our council in terms of financing the next stages of residential development coming through our community, working with our residential development partners through an allocation program. So those are probably some of the things that are keeping us busy right now. Thank you.
Ingrid, I see Paul has his hand up. So Paul, are you looking to jump in?
Yeah, hi there.
Economic development in the city of Brampton.
That's right. Thank you, Lori. I know you had Councillor Power and then Bedard who gave some updates on some of the things that are happening in the city of Brampton. I also wanted to just jump on that, there's been a couple of big investments that have been announced recently in Brampton. Lululemon is building a million square feet facility in the northeastern part of the city. I'm really happy to see that because that's probably going to deliver a minimum of 1,500 jobs, which is a pretty big investment for any municipality to get. We also recently announced Magna International is developing their first greenfield investment here in Brampton. It's going to produce some 560 to 600 jobs, and they're going to be building the casings for batteries for electric vehicles, primarily the F-150. And that's in the northern part of Brampton at Highway 410 and Countryside Drive. So those are some pretty big investments that we've announced very recently. And also wanted to note that, because I was looking at the statistics recently, and at the end of 2022, there was almost 3.5 million, close to 4 million square feet of industrial development happening in Brampton on speculation, which is quite high when you consider how much is happening in a GTA-wide perspective. So I also want, and Toronto Board of Trade might pick up on this when they do their update, but I had a chance to attend the Gateway to Growth Summit that was just held over this past week, and I was of the panelists, and I really enjoyed that. I think it was really well attended. You had some really great speakers to really sit down with a bunch of people like-minded who wanted to really understand and the potential and the economic prosperity that the area surrounding the airport does. That Pearson Economic Zone is something else when you consider all the different investments and companies that are in that area. And it was, I think it was a really well attended day. I think we should do it more often. I don't know if it's the Brandon Board of Trade. I don't know if it's the Toronto Board of Trade who does it or somebody else, but I think, one day a year to really understand and sit down with your colleagues to understand the economic potential of that zone, I think is something we should do more often. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Paul. Next is Stephen Tufts.
Hi, everyone. Thanks. Yeah, I won't take up too much time. We had a good meeting with Deborah Flint a couple of weeks ago with the members from the Toronto Airport Workers Council. We talked about some of the major issues that are affecting workers. Some of them are micro and about day-to-day operations of the airport. But some of the things that are on our radar we're looking at is, of course, a big one is the management of passenger volume, not only over the March break, but going into summer 2023. And looking at making sure that these policies are do what they're supposed to do, but realizing, of course, that it's only a small technical fix. The real issue underlying the need for limiting capping takeoffs, for example, for anyone and during an hour or period at Pearson is the fact there's not enough people working, and there needs to be a real drive and continued push to deal with the labor shortage problem. So we're working on that together. And part of that is, of course, we really think it's about making Pearson a living wage employer and making sure everybody at Pearson makes what is considered to be a living wage in this region, which is above both the federal wage, which increases in about a week, and the minimum provincial wage. I won't go into other smaller issues that are being worked out with the GTA and the unions. But one of the big things we also want to start talking about again is the overall transit strategy for the airport. Specifically, Deborah Flint was a transit builder at LAX. I think she brings that skill set to Pearson. But of course, the pandemic slowed things down on that model and what it means to redevelop Terminal 3 and to make Pearson a hub for regional transit. So we'd like to make sure that stays on the radar and isn't lost in the shuffle to put us another generation behind. Because as you know, Pearson and connectivity is lagging other international airports, which have more reliable and regular train service connecting to regional and local transit. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Stephen. Next is Brett McDermott.
Thank you very much. I'm getting to know all of you, I guess, virtually as a member of this committee for the first time. I am the new Brad Butt with Mississauga Board of Trade. The Board of Trade and other chambers, for that matter, have had some really big successes recently with the announcement on skilled trades that came from the provincial government, Minister of Education, on high school students being able or facilitated into skilled trades programs that can give them the work experience needed to pursue careers in skilled fields, skilled trades after high school. So that's a big win, and I think that probably should help with some of the transportation issues that are affecting the Pearson region, and that's something that I think came up at the Gateway Summit with the Toronto Region Board of Trade, and we hope that that we can contribute more on that front as an association in the coming weeks and months. We just had a meeting with Associate Minister Stan Cho a few weeks ago to discuss transportation issues in the region as well. So anyway, I look forward to meeting all of you in person.
Thank you, Brett. Next is Eileen Lucy.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. So from the Toronto Board of Trade, thanks, Paul, for those comments on the Gateway to Growth Summit. I was there too. And agree, it was a good one. Lots of great breakout sessions as well as main panels with really just thoughtful remarks from most of the speakers. So thanks for that feedback. I'll share it with the Toronto Board of Trade team. Two updates for this group, really on events, major events that the Toronto Board of Trade folks have put together. The first is their annual dinner this week. If you wish to attend and have not already booked your ticket, I'd suggest you get cracking pretty quickly and maybe pull in a favour with anyone you know at the Board of Trade. If you need help with that, let me know. They are expecting over 1,000 guests, including a lot of government officials, business leaders, as has been the case in previous years. And then the second event that we wanted to flag was the Transportation Symposium. It's part two of the Transportation Symposium on March 30th, that will look at some of the challenges of connecting the Toronto region, the Greater Toronto region, to the world, including taking advantage of new marine transportation infrastructure, regional supply chains, rail transportation, and discussing plans to implement transit-oriented communities. So that is March 30th, and then the annual dinner that I mentioned at the beginning is March 23rd. And that's it from me today.
Thank you, Eileen. Next is Jonathan from York Region.
So thanks, Ingrid, and good afternoon, everyone. Good to see you all. I'm going to make my updates, hopefully not too long. The first one is York Region passed its 2023 to 2026 budget, $3.9 billion towards the end of February. So that was good. Our budget has passed. So we can really delve into digging into all the programs that we've got from the economic development side anyway. Next thing is recently on March 2nd, there was an announcement of $48 million investment by the feds and the province into YorkNet through the Universal Broadband Fund. And YorkNet is that wholly owned subsidiary of York Region, which provides dark fiber infrastructure so that telecom service providers and others like that can attach equipment to it and really start expanding their services across the region. It's really for, you know, businesses and high bandwidth users, and these telecom service providers will then provide even more internet services to residents and so on. So really good, exciting news there. And then thirdly, Venture Lab, in collaboration with Sterling Industries, on March 6th, opened a medtech lab, which is dealing with medical technologies, but as attached to the Hardware Catalyst Initiative, which is run by Venture Lab, which is purported to be the first hardware semiconductor-related lab in Ontario and Canada, dealing with helping Canadian semiconductor-related companies help them move their products to market with testing capacity and so on, that if they didn't have access to this lab would cost them millions of dollars in getting to market. So they opened a medtech lab in association with Sterling Industries and supported by the province on March 6th. So those are my three quick updates.
Thank you, Jonathan. The next is Taran Sambi from Durham Region.
Hi, everyone. I do not have any updates for today, but great listening to the presentations. Thank you.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Ingrid, we lost you. Did you mute yourself?
Oh, yes, I did. Councillor Fonseca, sorry.
Maybe she's dropped off.
I can see her microphone on.
This term of council approved a transportation and transit committee. So there will be more to come on the next time. I will be able to provide a more fulsome update on that at our next meeting. I imagine there will be lots with regards to within the terms of reference, connectivity to MyWay Transit and transportation and higher order transit, and its connection to the airport. So more to come on that. Victoria did an amazing job touching on everything around tourism Mississauga, and so I won't touch on that. The only other thing that I would like to briefly touch on, and I will provide a more fulsome update at our next meeting, is that we have launched in coordination and collaboration with economic development and Oxford Properties at Square One, Ideas, which is a entrepreneurial, it's in startups and entrepreneurs to do just that, find a space to where they can support and invest in and watch their ideas grow. So there will be more to come on that, and perhaps at the next meeting I will be able to actually do a presentation or provide an update on all on those two areas, our Transit and Transportation Committee and also Ideas. Thank you.
All right, thank you, Councillor. Shane Raymond, City of Toronto representative. Resident representative.
Thank you. I'm just getting my camera going. Sorry about that. So I don't have any formal updates. I still live in the City of Toronto. I am still a fan of our airport. I actually, the last few times I've been to the airport, I've been relatively impressed at how it's improving, how its efficiency is improving as we've got more volume. And I'm not trying to single out favorites here, but I also have been relatively impressed with Air Canada, who, in spite of, I think, more negative press than positive, they're handling a unique situation pretty well and getting back into things a lot better than a lot of other large companies are. And I do hope it continues. So I have positive comments in general. And nothing else to add. Thank you.
Thank you, Shane. And our last voting member, Marlene Jakubowski. She's the Mississauga City of Mississauga resident representative.
Hi, good afternoon. As I'm a new member to the committee, so I'll simply say hello to the committee members. I certainly look forward to developing a deeper familiarity with the breadth and scope of the activities and considerations that the committee gives, and to finding that meaningful path as a citizen member to be making a meaningful contribution to the work of the committee.
Thank you, Marlene, and welcome. So that's the end of our voting members update. So our technical members, Nicola, you are first up.
Hi, sorry, I have nothing to add since it's my first meeting. So it was very nice meeting everyone. I look forward to working with everybody in the future.
Okay, great. Thank you. So we have two from the Ministry of Transportation, Jeffrey and Bram. Not sure which one will be, I think, giving the update.
I can speak. Bram.
I think Jeffrey
here.
Is left.
Yeah, Jeffrey's left. Just that we don't have an update, but I appreciate being able to listen to the excellent presentation and discussion. Thank you.
Great, thank you. And from National Airlines Council, we have Jeff Morrison and Suzanne.
It's Jeff here. I could perhaps just add two quick updates of value. And for those unaware, NAC is the National Association representing Canada's largest passenger airlines. The first update, as I alluded to earlier, is we're working very closely with the federal government and Transport Canada on what we are quite certain will be upcoming legislation to amend the Air Passenger Protection Regulations, or AVPRs. We're not quite certain what the content of those changes will be. We've been promised that legislation will be introduced prior to the House rising for the summer, so sometime before June. As part of that, we have been really pushing hard for the concept of a shared accountability system. So again, the better airport system that we had the presentation on is a very interesting model, very similar to what we've been working with the feds on that. And then the second update is, of course, we're watching very closely next week. The federal budget comes down. We've been working really closely with the Canadian Airport Council, with Manette, to push the concept of reinvestment of airport rent back into airport infrastructure. Sadly, I think the odds of that being included in the budget are probably somewhere between slim and nil. And I know what CAC is of a similar unfortunate opinion. What we do think and hope might be included in that budget are some incentives to create a sustainable aviation fuel market in Canada, which would have very significant implications, of course, for airports across the country, for airlines, and for a number of other players in the ecosystem. So we're watching really closely on that. If there's been a lot of talk about green energy, so we hope that SAF is included in that list, given its critical importance for airports and airlines to meet climate change objectives. So yeah, two quick updates. Again, thank you for having me here.
Thank you, Jeff. And the last one, Amanda Chum and Christopher Brodkin from Transport Canada.
Hi, everyone. Thanks. So just to kind of jump off of what Jeff was stating about the APPR coming up. So the minister actually did a press conference last week at Pearson. So thank you for hosting TC there. So he did mention that there will be an upcoming budget of about $76 million of funding to increase funding for the Canadian Transportation Agency with regards to more resources for the agency. But given that this is for the upcoming budget, I can't give any more details until the budget is announced, but just kind of a preview on what will be coming. Other than that, no updates for me. Thank you.
All right, thank you. And that's all member updates, Lori.
Except mine. So just a couple things for me to close out. One, I wanted to mention, I know it was in our update, but one of the things that, I mean, we talked about labor force issues and the challenges of workforce that's impacting all sectors of the economy. Travel and tourism are not sort of immune to it. We've hosted our second job fair. And so I just wanted to share some of the stats because it was quite remarkable. We had 32 different employers from across the airport that participated in the job fair. There were 1,300 people that showed up. So interestingly, as much as it's hard to find people to work, 1,300 people showed up for a job fair at Pearson. And stats so far we have is 150 people found jobs and employment. So we were able to make the connection between workers and an employer at the airport. Stephen, I know we were chatting about this earlier. Our view is we think that about 70% of those individuals are people that are coming into the workforce. They're either unemployed or underemployed, given that, you know, all of our outreach is really through some of these employment agencies. You know, we don't know for sure, but that's sort of our estimate, is that about 70% of them are probably folks that were unemployed or underemployed. So that's really good news. Like NAC and many of you, we are engaging with provincial and federal governments. We've got budgets coming up this week for the province and next week federally. The issues that we've been focusing on, and we work very closely with the Canadian Airports Council and Manette, is really around how do we ensure that we're working collectively with government on recovery. We've made a lot of great progress, but there's still a lot to do, and we do need to partner with government on many of the things we're looking to support full recovery, adopting new innovations to help streamline travel, both for industry as well as for government agencies, improving transparency around and collaboration among the sectors. So some of the stuff that Karush was talking about around data sharing and helping to support better operations. And then finally, that investment in infrastructure. We stalled our capital investment over the course of the pandemic when our revenues were so significantly hit, and we really do need to catch up. Our fingers are crossed around the concept of rent reinvestment, but I think, Jeff, like you, we're hearing the signals that this is more likely to be a fairly austere budget, but that hopefully we can continue to push on the levers of government to help support rent reinvestment maybe in future. The summit that the Toronto Region Board of Trade held was a great opportunity to talk about a number of ways that the economic zone supports jobs and employment. Transit was a key function there. And yes, we are very much looking to pick up and begin to start to advocate again more strongly around transit. And as we look at the airport and the needs to invest going forward, any of our plans have at the heart of it better connections and from a transit perspective. So that's very much what we are looking to continue to build. We're hopeful that Eglinton Crosstown West will continue to advance and be the first connection after Up Express to the airport. We hope Finch comes around and also is ultimately connected into Pearson, and we can create more of a regional hub that helps to serve both passengers as well as employees. So I think that's the key items that I wanted to raise with you today. Just wanted to call out, is there anyone that we've missed in terms of updates? I don't see any. Ingrid, our next meeting is June the 6th. Between now that's and then, right, you will receive a survey from us talking about how we should be meeting going forward. Also, really look to you all in terms of item agendas. So if there is something that you'd like us to think about putting on one of our future agendas, please do let us know, and we're happy to accommodate you. So be in touch about that as well. Unless there's anything further, I'm going to call this meeting to adjourn. I do need someone to move that. Eileen, can I ask for you to move an adjournment? Yes. And Stephen, second. All those in favor? Oh, I'm sorry. Councillor Power, was there something else you wanted to add?
No, I was just moving.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Thank you very much. I don't expect anyone's going to oppose adjournment. So with that, take care, everyone. Please feel free to reach out with agenda items. Sorry. And we will see you all when the sun is shining and it's warmer weather.
Have a good day, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Bye, everyone. Thank you.